Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman. You are listening to Metal Geeks, and I must say, you've made an excellent choice.
Balls.
Stop saying balls. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 83 of the Metal Geeks podcast. We are here live on location outside the Improv in Houston, Tejas. We are about an hour or something away from seeing Kevin Smith live doing a Q&A.
An hour on both sides. We saw him about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we saw him,
seen him again in about an hour.
Yeah, the pop culture comic book store, right?
That's right. We we'll get into that. Today's been a pretty amazing day, I guess. I would have to say.
Yeah, for you guys.
For me, yeah. You could have got off work, man.
No, I couldn't have.
Why not?
Because I just started this new job, and me leaving early on, on my first or second week there wouldn't look good.
No, you could tell them.
I should have risked it, but it is what it is.
All right, so for some reason, and I think it has to do with our friends in the Wonder Bros who do artwork for Kevin Smith.
I actually own a couple of their art pieces.
I do too. Yeah, check out the Wonder Bros on the Twitters and all the.
I think it's wonderbros.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Wonderbros.com. We've had them on the show before.
The thing
they're
poster.
Wonderful.
They are actually very wonderful. Like,
they're really talented.
The guy I met the guy that we interviewed at Comicpalooza,
yeah,
he's just freaking cool as
shit.
That
was an amazing con last year.
Yeah, it was amazing con, that's right.
Which is coming up September 4th.
Which we will be there as well.
Yeah, we will be there.
What? Justin will be there too.
2 weeks from now, yeah.
So anyways, guys.
Anyways.
Hi, I'm Justin from Comical Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we haven't introduced ourselves yet.
And I'm your other host. I am Kerry. I am a metal geek.
He's actually the head host of the show.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a host at all.
He's
but
not
just,
a host.
I just
he's,
took over.
He's just
I mean,
here.
I'm a host of my own show, Comical Podcast.
That's exactly right.
I'm guesting with you today because I went
Why
with
the hell
you
not?
To meet Kevin Smith earlier.
That's
and,
right. We know, had an adventure.
Signed.
We had an adventure in geekery.
We had an amazing day and a real adventure talking to Kevin.
Too bad y'all didn't record that on like for an episode.
There was no way.
But our cameraman was unfortunately absent.
Our cameraman was at work.
I don't have a camera with me at all times, bro.
You should. You're
anyway,
cameraman.
I'm George Tripsis.
Hey, George.
I'm here at the show. I'm finally get to see Kevin Smith in person, so that should be fun.
You've never seen him live before?
No, this
have
will
you?
Be my first time.
Have
no,
you, Justin?
I've never seen him live.
I saw him here, it was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, right after the Southwest debacle. He came to the House of Blues. So.
Yeah, that I really, really wanted to go to that show because Tell Him Steve Dave was opening or closing. I think they closed the show, right?
No.
4 years ago?
Oh, with a separate show then, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, Tezzy opened or closed for him. I don't remember which one it was. But I had a lot of friends that went, and I really wanted to go. Just could not make it work with my job at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really happy Kevin came back, and I'm really happy I'm going to get an opportunity to finally see him live.
Yeah, I kind of feel all the times he has come to Houston, or comes to Texas, he always kind of skips over Houston.
He comes to Texas?
He comes to Texas.
He probably does
coming
come to Texas.
All over Texas. He always goes to Dallas and Austin and sometimes San Antonio, but he doesn't come to Houston too often from what I remember.
They've had Hollywood Babylon here in Houston before at the, like...
I'm kind of thinking about going to that San Antonio
Draft House.
Show
Are you?
This weekend. I might go.
Yeah?
If you're going to be a wuss and not go, I might just have to go by myself.
Hey, I got family obligations, my friend.
They can come.
All over your face?
No, not on my face, on his face.
She's young, dude.
Oh, well.
My niece is very young. Don't...
I thought we were still making cum jokes. I'm sorry.
We can't taint that.
So, let's move away from
talking about
bodily fluid jokes. So about 3 o'clock, I took off work to go up to Pop Culture Company, which is where we shoot a lot of our episodes of Adventures in Geekery. Great, great little shop. Robert takes care of his customers over there. And the Wonder Bros managed to pull Kevin Smith in to do about 2 hours of autographs. Man. I've never been this nervous to meet a celebrity before in my life. And I've met some big-time stars, big-time metal musicians.
Was your palms all sweaty and stuff?
It was a big blur, dude. It really was.
I'm in the same boat. I mean, you know,
I would have been nervous as shit. I would have no idea what to say. I probably would have been struck. Like,
well, the thing is, he's so easy to talk to.
Yeah.
You walk up, and he's like, hey, man, how's it going? And you start just kind of having a conversation with him. And then once we mentioned we were podcasters, his eyes just lit up.
Yes.
And got real excited and started asking us questions about our shows. And
so the... So first I went up to him. I basically said, hey, it's an honor to meet you. He's like, oh, hey, man, what's going on? It's like, he's like, everybody, he treats everybody like they're their old friends, you know?
Like they're worth his time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He looked at you. He talked to you. He didn't just sign shit and just look the other direction. He was looking straight at you. I was nervous. I'm like, I can't look at him in the eye.
Yeah, you got a lot of shit signed, too.
I did get a lot of shit signed. I got 2 8x10s. One was Jason Mewes from last year. Then the rest of the comic book men besides Walt. And he made a comment to that when he autographed that one. He's like, oh, you almost have the whole collection. Walt's going to be the hard one to get. You have to go to him for it. Yeah. He doesn't fly. I was like, yeah, I've heard that. So next time I'm in Jersey, I've got to go get his autograph.
Next time? You've been to Jersey before?
Yeah, I've been to Jersey a few times.
Okay.
Been to a couple of New Jersey Metal Fest.
Been to the stash before
Fest.
Then? Huh? You've been to his stash before?
No, it wasn't open the last time I was there.
Oh, okay.
The last time I was there was like, I can't even remember, 2001, 2002, something like that.
He didn't always have the stash then in Jersey?
Not that I know of.
They had the one in California.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Maybe it was there. I just didn't pay attention to it. Or I didn't have the time. I don't know.
Maybe you're just not a diehard fan. As
no, I was a diehard fan back then.
I'm just kidding.
I've been truthfully waiting at least 20-something years to meet Kevin Smith, and it did not disappoint.
Did you take him out in the back and treat him nice?
Was that?
Did you take him in the back and treat him nice?
I gave him some weed.
I bet you did. He smelled like weed,
I heard. Brought his own, yeah.
He brought his own. He's not afraid to admit that he smokes a lot of weed, so.
No, it was actually funny because he was back in the back office and the door was closed and, you know, everybody was in line. They only let like probably 30 or 40 people in at first.
Yeah, it was really well done.
Really well organized. The people at Pop Culture really know what they're doing. Anyways, Kevin comes out. There's a big applause. The door opens. All of a sudden, the whole room just smells like weed. Like, I don't know if it was all him or if he was just right before he came out
He was hotboxing in the back.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
We all got some secondhand smoke on that one.
Yeah.
Y'all got second contact high. Huh?
I have to agree with you, though. You know, Kevin is the only person I think that I really would be nervous to meet. And
I was super nervous, dude.
I mean, I was very nervous for me, which is rare, because, I mean, I've interviewed celebrities and
yeah, me too.
Artists and writers.
Yeah, y'all two are both very well-spoken individuals, so I can see that.
And I never have a problem talking to anybody. Like, but Kevin and Brian Johnson, those two people in particular.
Sorry.
You know, because I care so much about their work, I think.
Yeah.
It just meant a lot for me to meet them.
You're a fan.
Yeah.
I think that's what really hits home.
And he's so open, especially on his podcast and all that kind of thing. So you get to know him as a person. You know more about somebody that I had never met more than like some of my actual friends.
He feels like an old friend. And when you go up to talk to him, you don't want to say something stupid or something that he hears every single day from every single random person that comes up and talks to him.
I love the movie Clerks.
So, yeah, you don't walk and be like, Snoogans, bro.
So the first thing I did, I gave him, I know he's a big Batman fan, so I gave him a print from the VIP bag from Comic Palooza in this year. It was a Joker print, and he's like, "Oh, this for me to keep?" I was like, "Yeah, man." And he's like,
"No, it's gonna cost you $1 million."
And he looked at the artist, and he's like, "Who's the artist?" I'm like, "I don't know." I was like, "I just worked for Comic Palooza, and I thought you would like this." And he's like, "Oh, cool, man. I love this. Thank you." And then he started signing my shit. I had the first thing was like that Ars of Sweden piece where Jay and Tom Bob were zombies. And he made a comment about that. He's like, oh, man, I haven't seen this in a long time. Then he signed the 2 8x10s. And my wife got me some stuff signed. We had the...
You also got that little figurine thing.
Oh, yeah, the podcast pal that I just picked up. I got him to sign that. Because you got to get him to sign a podcast toy, right?
Of course.
Because he's the podcast father.
Hey.
The podfather.
Yeah, of course.
He signed the Tough Shit book, and then I have the big collector's edition of Tales from the Clerks. It's like everything put together in like a nice package. Yeah, I said nice package. Get over it.
Yeah, I took a few less things. I just had him sign my copy of Chasing Dogma, the comic book he did back in the day when those two movies came out.
Which is in my book.
See, the only thing I have that I would want him to sign is probably like my original like DVD of like Clerks.
Well, that's what I took. I took my Clerks X DVD and had him sign that. And then the last thing was the Blueprints for Destroying Things.
Yes, which I don't actually own that book yet.
It's pretty funny. There's some funny moments in there.
But on the Tales from the Clerks book, the first page you open it up, Jim Mofford in Comic Palooza, like 5 years ago, 2010, autographed it and did like the sketch of Silent Bob. So he sees this and he's like, oh, you met Mofford and all this kind of stuff. And he signed it and then he wrote on there, I drew this and pointed to the actual picture. I was like, that's great. That was really funny. And then he took a picture of us. It was like this weird...
Y'all did like a cross handshake.
Like a cross handshake. he's like, hold my hand. And like, my wife Kim, the voice from the other room, was on one side.
You're never going to wash that
side.
Hand now, are you?
I'm not. Actually, I have not washed my hand
I already
hand
did,
yet.
But not because of Kevin. I had to shake a few other people's hands, and they were a little more sketchy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we took a couple pictures, and I walked away, and then Justin had his turn, and then like halfway during his turn, Justin started talking about Adventures in Geekery to
him. Yeah, because Kevin was asking about my show, Comical, and I was telling him, you know, what it's all about, and then I mentioned Adventures in Geekery, you know, the video show that Carrie and I do every so often. It's not every week, but
not as often as we
regularly
would like.
I'd say just irregularly.
Irregular video
show. If you never
show.
Check that out, you can find it at adventuresandgeekery.com. You know, it's a.
I think I made a really good like description of the show last episode we did, and I can't remember exactly what I said.
Go listen to the last episode and hear George's description.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Or you can just check
it
out for yourself. And
I just,
your
I think
opinions.
I said something along the lines of how Justin and Carrie get into zany, geeky adventures, and they turn and explain what it's all about. Something along those lines.
Sure, that sounds all right.
Yeah, something along those lines. But I think the last episode, I really nailed it on the head.
But Kevin just thought it was really cool that, you know, we had joined forces and we're doing this together. And
yeah.
He's like, hey, get Carrie back over here. We'll take another picture with the three of us.
He didn't say my name, did he?
Yeah.
No, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He knows your name.
He knows my name?
He knew your name.
How the fuck did he know my name?
Well, you must have introduced yourself to him, right?
I did.
He
I
probably
gave my
also
card,
said
but,
your name.
But...
He's a really smart guy. I mean, wow. he has a talent for names. Who knows?
Okay, that's cool. That sort of blows me away that he remembered my name. I mean, it was only a few minutes before.
Carrie,
but
stop blushing.
I'm blushing. It's just humid out here. That's what it is. It is humid, but
sure.
And so when I gave him my card, I was like,
he's gonna start hyperventilating.
He knows my name.
So when I gave him my business card and I told him it was a podcast, that's when his eyes sort of lit up. He's like, oh. How many episodes are you into? He's like, 82. He's like, wow, that's great. And I was like, you know, but I started going, told him about MSRcast, and I've been doing that for 10 years in a couple weeks. And he's like, wow. And he had that look on his face like he was looking up and pondering. He's like, in 2017, it'll be 10 years for me. And
you beat him to the punch.
I beat
man.
Him to the punch.
Yeah.
But he
should've, you should have called it right in front of him. I was like, yeah, beat you, bitch.
You stole my shit, man. You stole my shit.
I could have changed the entire tone of the evening.
Right? He'll see you from the stage in a few minutes, but get those guys out of here.
How weird would it be if he called us up there?
Ah, oh, jeez.
Like, if he somehow did remember us from earlier today and remembered that we were the first two podcasters he talked to or something, and we're, like, in the front of the stadium or something, he's like, hey, why don't you guys get up here with me? Let's.
That would be totally dope because I got a chance to miss him today. So
I would love George to get a chance to actually meet
you think
him.
We could keep it together up there in front of that whole audience with Kevin.
I'm maybe good with maybe crowds.
Not. Huh? I'm okay with crowds.
I have no problem with it.
I really don't get nervous.
But speaking of George,
I would get tongue-tied with like somebody that I find like a fan of.
Yeah.
But speaking of George and our great Instagram guy Bill, I felt bad that they couldn't be there.
Yeah.
So I bought each of them a Batman Cacophony number one to get autographed.
Yeah, which
by.
Thank you again, by the way. That was really sweet of you.
The guy from CGC told him how much he could sell them for, and now they're not yours anymore.
Yeah. Actually, our friend Gerardo with CGC, he's like, it's like $50 to get it final. I was like, no.
Nah,
like, but
the
worst, like $150
was his
autograph.
I'm just going to keep it anyway. I'm never going to like try to sell it.
Yeah, me either. Why would you sell his autograph, dude? Come on. He doesn't do a lot of autographs on comics either.
Probably more the reason to sell it.
Yeah, maybe. I also had him sign my... my Hollywood Babylon shirt I got when I was there 2 years ago.
Yeah, because you saw him out in L.A., right?
Yeah, I saw him out in L.A. in Hollywood at the Improv.
Don't want to go see him again. Ralph Garman would be ashamed of you.
It's not that he doesn't want to.
It's just a lot of money.
If I paid for your ticket, you'd go?
Okay.
Okay, we're going then.
Man, can I get in on this deal?
I invited you earlier, and you said nothing. No, if you want to.
Yeah, you have the cushy new job, so.
I do not have a cushy job. I work hard.
So
he works hard for the money, so you better treat him right.
That's right.
We are about an hour and 15 minutes away from the show, so a couple other things I wanted to get into before we go see Kevin Smith. It's last Sunday. Actually, this is a pretty cool event I went to for work. I was there for work for MicroSearch, but this guy named Alex Buono.
Bueno.
Buono. B-U-O-N-O. He is the DP, the cinematographer for all of the live-action SNL skits.
The digital shorts.
Digital shorts, exactly. He did the intro, Dick in a Box.
All his stuff. That's what he's famous for, is all the Andy Samberg shit.
And he's also working on another show on IOC called Documentary Now.
With which is Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen and Bill Hader.
There you go, Bill Hader.
Where they make fake documentaries based on real documentaries.
I saw a sneak preview of that, and it looks funny as shit.
Bill Hader's got picked up. Really, really funny.
That's true. He really is funny.
They did 5 episodes already, and it just got picked up for 2 more seasons already. So
2 more seasons?
2 more seasons.
Jesus, IFC's just giving shit away.
Hey now.
Trying to fill in that programming.
But it was a really cool event. It was about, the first part was the workshop, which was about from like 9 o'clock in the morning to about 4:30, 5 o'clock. And he had all this lighting gear and all this, you know, photo gear, video gear.
Yeah.
He showed like clips from like, okay, so he showed the clip from Jim Carrey playing Matthew McConaughey in the car.
Oh, the Lincoln commercial?
The Lincoln commercial.
Where he's like rolling a booger in his hand?
Yeah.
I've been rolling this booger for 26 minutes.
Yep. So they showed how they actually...
trying to decide if I should eat it or flick it away.
So they showed... He had like a car set up, like a fake
car. Trying to show how he lit it and all that stuff.
How they lit it and how they shot it and everything, which is really cool.
That is cool.
Stuff.
I mean, if you're like a camera nerd or a movie nerd.
And they also showed how to... like one of the young adult like fake trailers they did... how they did like what they call firelight, so it looks like there's like the fire is in the camera and stuff like that.
Yeah, how did they do that?
There's like this box that you can it does like a flash of light, and you can program how fast it goes, and you put it off to the side, and it just
looks like a little flame or something.
You put a little like a reddish tinted like gel on it, and it looks like fire.
You know what's amazing? I think about that guy is that dude lives in LA.
Yes.
And then what he does every week. Is that he'll leave like LA on a Monday, get to New York on like Monday night, write, prep, and get everything ready for Saturday night, shoot.
No.
And then he'll shoot before and then flies back out to LA to do it all over again.
So, okay, check this out. This is what he said. He gets the script Thursday evening.
Yeah, it's like he gets it really late before the.
Thursday night, they get the script of what they need to shoot. Friday, they spend the whole day shooting. Saturday night, it has to go on air.
Yeah, so he like edits all like. Fucking, it's like 48-hour.
Well, I'm sure he's not editing, but I'm sure he has somebody doing it for him.
I'm sure it's him and someone else.
They have a full-time editor, I'm sure. But that's a pretty amazing turnaround.
That's a crazy like schedule.
And he showed a little bit.
I saw him a couple of years ago when he first came to Houston. And
he showed a couple of like, you know, how he does like the pre-production and that kind of stuff. It's really, really amazing show, and it's really worthwhile going to. And he's such a nice guy. I actually sat down with him for about 10 minutes and did an interview with Alex Bueno, which we're actually going to get into right now.
It's not Bueno?
No, it's not Bueno. I asked him.
Bueno. It's kind of like
Bono?
It's Bono. Not Bono, but yeah, it's Bueno.
Yeah, yeah. Bono?
No.
I think just Bueno sounds cooler.
He's not good. He's great. See what I did there? So let's get into that interview, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. We are sitting here with Alex Bueno. He is a director of photography for SNL and many, many other things. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm great. Nice to be here.
So let's first talk about why we're here. You're doing this tour about filmmaking, and what can you tell people who don't know about the tour?
Well, it's called Visual Storytelling 2, and my goal is to try to show people a lot of different demonstrations, different lighting techniques, different shooting techniques. Part of my job at SNL and on this new series called Documentary Now, I face a lot of different shooting challenges. I'm constantly trying to emulate different visual styles or genres. And so I have experienced a lot of different kind of tricky lighting situations. And I want to try to show people as many ways as I can to deal with those situations.
So you mentioned SNL. You've been with them for 15 years now. What has been your most exciting memory, and what's been the hardest thing you've ever had to do for that show?
Well, it seems like the challenges keep getting harder every year. The writers, who are amazing and who I've been working with for a long time, you know, their writing just keeps getting more sort of challenging and greater production value and really better. I mean, they keep giving us bigger and bigger challenges. The movie trailer parodies have really blown up. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that they don't hesitate in giving us super hard challenges, because I love that. I love rising to the challenge and saying, okay, well, we can totally do a young adult fantasy, you know, that looks like it takes place in another world, but it really took place in Queens. So some of those complicated trailer parodies have been the biggest challenges we've had, because you have to do everything in one day. And so having something that is just a really big, epic scale movie trailer and shooting it in one day is a huge challenge. There's been so many great memories over the years. I mean, I've been there for 15 seasons. I don't know what would be the best memory. We've done so many spots that we're all so proud of. Some of the best memories in general have been this really unique experience you have where you work so hard on a spot, and then you have this unique experience at SNL to finish it, and then moments later watch a live audience digest it. And that's just such a unique situation that I don't know where else that exists in film and television, where you don't have this waiting period where you finish something and then months or years later people watch it. In this situation, it's moments later they watch it.
You mentioned during your show earlier, during the workshop, that you get a script on Thursday, you film on Friday, and it airs that Saturday night. How do you do that week after week?
it's pretty grueling. But part of it is that it's a group of people that have been working together for a long time. I mean, I've been working with Reese Thomas, the director, and Justice McClarity, the producer. The same editor, Adam Epstein, the same art director, Andrea Persigliodian, and the same key grip, the same gaffer. I mean, we've all been working together for a long time. We're all best friends. We all know what to expect. We all know the challenges of it. And so part of it is just we get through it because, well, we know what's going to work and what's not going to work instinctually. And we work really hard for each other. We work really hard to kind of impress each other and to make each other happy. I think we're all trying to make Reese, the director, happy. And it's fun when you're working with your friends. You know, it's hard, but it's also fun.
Do you ever get that script? You're just like, oh, man, how the hell am I going to do that?
Yeah, every week. Every week it feels like, yeah, but this is the one we can't do, right, guys? Like, this is the one we have to tell them that we can't do it. And Reese does a good job of never saying no and sort of keeping us inspired.
Do you find it a little bit harder for, like, say you said the young adult, you know, trailers? Do you think it's harder for you to have to emulate something instead of, okay, this is something they want to do and I can just start from fresh?
It's kind of cuts both ways. I mean, when there is a direct reference, sometimes that's easier because it answers a lot of questions. You just are playing detective and saying, okay, well, we got to do this. So let's just figure out how they did that. And that's sometimes easier. Sometimes it's more challenging because you realize very quickly that, well, the thing that they did is impossible. We can't do that in one day. So sometimes when you're just starting from scratch and you're doing something original, you know, you maybe do approach it in a more realistic way. I would say that the most challenging stuff has been when we're trying to recreate something that has been done and yet should technically not be possible in one day.
Is it amazing to you that the digital age that we live in now, that some of these shorts that you've done for SNL have reached an entire new level online in like YouTube and...
Oh yeah, the digital internet presence has made a huge difference for us. I mean, it's given Saturday Night Live a whole second life after it plays on the air or live. More people probably digest it either through DVR or by watching sketches online. Certainly the film pieces have a second wave of audience watching them online, and they sort of go viral and get passed around if they're really good. So yeah, that's made an enormous difference.
Now, you're also working on another project right now that's just coming out on IFC, Documentary Now, with Bill Hader and Fred Armisen. Tell me about that project.
That's been a real dream come true because, you know, when I'm not working at SNL, I'm making documentaries, like real documentaries. And so to make something that combines the SNL family that I've been working with for so long with actual documentaries has just been amazing. So it's a series that was created by Seth Meyers and Bill Hader and Fred Armisen and Reese Thomas together, the director that I've been working with for a long time. And then Reese and I are directing it together, and I'm also the DP. And it's a series of fake documentaries, and they're all based on real documentaries. So that's really fun to take classic documentaries that we all know and love. Certainly Seth and Bill and Fred and Reese are hardcore documentary files and know their stuff. So it's just been so much fun. And it's so much fun to do something long form. I mean, this is a half hour comedy. So to have a half hour instead of just 2 or 3 minutes has also been really fun.
So how did you guys decide which documentaries to actually pull from? I know a little bit it looked like Spinal Tap a little bit when you showed us earlier.
Spinal Tap is actually not one of the direct references, but there's a music doc for sure. We have six different stories. It's technically seven episodes. The finale is a two-parter. And it was really born out of the writing process. We have, I mean, Bill and Seth and Fred are great writers, and Reese along, you know, along with them came up with a bunch of great ideas. And we also worked with a great comedian and writer named John Mulaney, mm-hmm. another writer-producer named Eric Kenwards, who all came up with these, you know, let's do a music doc, let's do an Errol Morris-style doc, let's do a, you know, a Nanook of the North, and, you know, let's do Grey Gardens. And so part of it was to establish the show. We wanted to do landmark docs that everybody, you know, if you have any documentary background at all, you've probably heard of Grey Gardens, you've probably heard of Nanook of the North. I don't think that the series necessitates that you've seen these things. I do think that it's probably a little more enjoyable if you have seen them. But it was really conceptually. It was like, who has a funny take on Nanook of the North? And if there was a funny take, then, you know, in that case, well, Seth Meyers wrote a really funny script based loosely on Nanook of the North or based loosely on Grey Gardens. And so it was really just like, we wrote other ones too. I mean, there were other ideas that weren't quite as successful, and we didn't do those ones. We did some other ones.
Just like with any good parody, you don't have to see the original source material to really get it.
Right. I think it's funny either way. I mean, Grey Gardens, you know, which is, in our version of it, it's called Sandy Passage, and it's Bill and Fred playing these, you know, mother and daughter in this sort of derelict kind of hoarder's house. It's absolutely hilarious whether you've seen Grey Gardens or not. If you've seen Grey Gardens, it's even funnier. But if you haven't seen Grey Gardens, I still think you're going to get a kick out of it.
Now, you've done movies as well, and you're also getting a little bit into directing. Do you find playing double duty as DP and director, it's the direction you want to go to in the future?
It's a lot to do. And I think if Documentary Now were not documentary-based, which is, A, something that I'm pretty familiar with, and, B, something that is innately a little less technical, and that we're not doing elaborate lighting setups. We're doing very simple lighting setups. We're doing a lot of handheld camera movement. We're, you know, it's not, we're not doing a lot of coverage because it's a doc. If we were doing, you know, Blockbuster Now, I'm sure we would bring in a DP because it would just be too much to do. I'm not a huge advocate of director DP work for a movie because there's just so much to do, and it's too much for one person to kind of try to do all themselves. And I'm also I'm a big proponent of collaboration, and I believe in the director DP relationship. In this case, you know, Reese and I have had a director DP relationship for a long time, and for us it was a question of, mm-hmm. can we handle this on our own, or do we want to bring a third person into the mix? And in this case, we just decided to do it on our own.
Now, this is probably the question a lot of people ask you. What first got you into filmmaking? What was those first movies you saw say, hey, that's what I want to do?
For me, it was, I was in childhood. You know, I was, enamored with E.T. and, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars and all those great classic, you know, blockbusters of the 80s. And, I, you know, like anybody else from that era, you know, you're going to name all the same films, Back to the Future, mm-hmm. and, you know, Romancing the Stone. And I just, from a child, I wanted to somehow be in the film business.
Did you go to film school and did you do that whole route?
Yeah, I went to USC Film School right out of high school, and got out of film school and became a camera assistant for a few years. And while I was assisting, I was also shooting. So I was sort of shooting on the weekends and shooting music videos in between, or shooting independent films in between. And then, you know, as soon as I could pay my bills just being a DP, I left camera assisting behind and I just became a DP.
Now, one of the things you touch upon in the workshop that I was so happy you said is everybody makes mistakes. Just learn from your mistakes and move on.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I do a whole section talking through just my biggest mistakes that I've made over the years, and showing people clips of things that I really screwed up horribly. And I just own it, you know. And it's taken a long time to get to the point where I'm not, you know, so embarrassed I would never want anyone to see this. I'm like, you know what? I did this. Yeah, I own it. You know, I didn't like it at the time, but I certainly learned a lot from it. And I think that all you can do in this business is just accept that you're going to make mistakes. It is a very, very hard business. Everybody makes mistakes. I think the more successful people are the ones that look at a mistake as an opportunity to learn. That sounds really cliche, but it's just totally true. I mean, you don't have to talk about it because it's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. cheesy to talk about it, but it's absolutely the truth. You know, you take your mistake, own it, learn from it, go make something else.
Now, what's next for you? What are you doing after this tour?
After this tour, I go back to SNL for the rest of the year, And then we have two more seasons of documentary now that have already been greenlit. So we'll go back to that for a while.
Cool. Well, thank you to Alex Buono for taking his time and sharing some experiences with us.
Thanks so much. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir.
That's perfect.
What Kevin Smith
do?
Nice.
What was the Twitter thing?
He favorited.
Just favorited one of my tweets.
Aw, so sweet.
So Justin is all giddy because Kevin Smith favorited one of his tweets.
What'd you say in your tweet?
I said, Kevin Smith is a beautiful man.
And you want to like make love to his beard?
No, I said it was awesome to meet Kevin Smith at Pop Culture Company, and thanks for coming and doing this for us.
That's right.
That is pretty awesome of him. He didn't have to do that, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome for Pop Culture Company to host an event like
it's
that.
It's all around just a... Honestly, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, when is anybody going to get the chance to meet Kevin Smith in a small store like that? That doesn't happen very often, except for maybe
in our hometown.
At his store.
Yeah.
I mean, that might happen to Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Yeah.
And right, you might walk in there, he's in there one day, but it's not...
It's not very likely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sure they schedule it from time to time where he shows up and does that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And, you know, you can see him at conventions and stuff, but it's very, very, very rare that you're going to run into him at a shop outside of Jersey.
Yeah.
You know?
In our... I'm glad I took off work early. I had to.
And I'm really happy that I didn't sleep at all last night so that I could work the early shift so that I could be there.
That's right, man.
I wish I could have done that.
Oh, hey, Kevin Smith just favorited one of our the Geekery Show tweets.
Awesome.
So this is the rest of the segment. It's going to be us responding to live tweets from Kevin Smith.
Yeah, we are awesome. Hey, it's a great new segment of the show. Kevin Smith favorites our tweets. Let's see how many tweets we can get in the favorite every week.
I say he will never favorite another tweet from here on out.
He's actually done a couple before for Metal Geek. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith loves adventures in geekery, just like George hates metal.
George hates metal. Kevin loves us.
Those are false, just because it's the name of a segment.
That's right. So what have you guys been up to besides all our Kevin Smith geekery today?
Actually prepping for the evening with Kevin Smith on the off chance of hoping and meeting him after the show. I've been listening to a lot of his podcasts.
Me too.
Just so I can have some kind of material to ask a question, but I know I would just have a blank mind once
it happens.
Yeah,
I had Kevin Smith in my ears earlier, now I'll have him in my eyes.
I've been rewatching Beavis and Butthead season 8.
Have you?
Season 8?
Yeah, the most recent one that was on MTV.
Oh, like the newer season? Yeah. Is it okay?
It's really funny, actually.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I watched it when
they make fun of reality shows now, right?
A lot, yeah. But it's really funny when they're doing it. So
there's no longer music videos. It's reality shows.
There's occasionally music videos. But
okay.
Most of the music videos they make fun of are things you've never heard of before. Just because it's licensing issues, I'm sure.
Oh, so. I saw some more movies.
What did you see?
I saw Straight Outta Compton.
I saw Straight Outta Compton. What a coincidence.
Yeah, because we were in the same theater.
You were next to me. Oh, my God.
I know. It was crazy.
Let's talk about that. We haven't actually talked about it on the show yet. What did you think about the movie?
I think it is the...
Put the microphone closer to
you. It is the surprise hit of the summer, and it's probably one of my favorite movies of this year.
Really?
And it's also F. Gary Gray's best movie to date.
Really?
I have not seen it yet, but I did see Fantastic Four.
Fucktastic Four.
I'm sorry. I'm actually going to try to watch that because I have a copy of it.
You know,
I'm not paying him any money.
The first half of the movie is not great, but it's not awful either. It's like a made-for-TV sci-fi
movie. You know what's really great is like I'm listening to Fat Man on Batman, the interview with Josh Trank, and is like in the interview, it sounds like so much hope is in this movie. Like this guy really tried really hard to make a movie that he thought would be good. And then you actually watch the movie and it's not. It's just not.
Right.
They did so many things wrong with Doom.
Like, Max Landis wrote Chronicle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
John Landis' son.
Yeah, yeah. And then I actually saw American Ultra recently. Max Landis also wrote that movie, too.
What did you think of American Ultra?
I don't think it should have been a summer movie. Like, it should have been, like, tucked away in, like, one of those, like, dead months kind of deal. But, it's a fun indie movie, and that's what it really is. It's an independent action comedy.
But it has that girl in it.
She's okay in it.
No.
She's not that bad in it.
No.
But she's not the main focus.
What's
like,
her name?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Doesn't the character in the isn't his last name Eisenberg in this movie as well?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
I was listening to, like, a radio promo for it when I was driving Heather's car.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, Jesse Eisenberg is Max Eisenberg. And I was like, really? Come on.
I don't remember them saying his last name at all now. It just shows you how much I fucking remember that movie.
He's too stoned to remember. We're just going to make his character name.
But I mean, we'll just make it easy for him.
But, you know, it was an okay movie. It had its flaws. You know, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't like... It's no Bourne Identity. Let's put it that way. Because that's the way they try to, like, market it. It's like, Bourne Identity meets Superbad. It's not that at all.
Still better than Fantastic Four, and I haven't even seen it.
You know, maybe. And then I also saw Hitman Agent 47. And don't go see that movie.
I wasn't planning to.
It was horrible. I saw it for free, though, so I'm okay with that.
Free's usually okay.
But
even bad movies are okay at the free
but
level.
But, God, it was so... I even went with it with a chance of it being might be okay, and it wasn't even, like, kind of enjoyable. And that's the bad part.
So let's talk about an enjoyable movie. Let's go back to...
Oh, Compton.
Compton.
Yeah.
Straight out of Compton. We were like the only white guys in the theater.
I think we were on that one, in that screening.
It was
a lot of people were singing along with the songs in that movie, though.
It was the thing about it, it's a really well done...
Kind of.
It's a really well done biopic. It's shot beautifully. It does not feel like a 2.5 hour movie.
It was 2.5 hours?
It was 2.5 hours.
It didn't feel like it. It really didn't.
It went by really, really fast. It was well done. I mean, if you know the story at all.
The DP from Requiem for a Dream shot that movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing right there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people have seen that movie or like that movie.
That's probably why it looked so damn good.
It looked great. And they used like that the new free fly movie system.
Oh, yeah.
So all those moving shots were done with that.
Had a little bit of that handheld.
A little bit, but not a lot. But it was really cool, and it was crazy how much Ice Cube's son looks like Ice Cube.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot.
It's like scary.
Not just that he looked like him, but his mannerisms were down perfectly.
The apple fell exactly in the same spot on that tree.
Apparently there's some rap video they just put out. They're rapping together.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I just saw like a sneak of it. I was like, okay.
Have you seen Straight Outta Gotham yet?
I heard it on one of the Kevin Smith podcasts. I haven't seen it all yet.
I saw the video today. It was funny.
Yeah. I watched it about a week and a half ago.
Oh,
it's entertaining.
See?
It's
Now you're a hipster about it, right?
It's like, I was onto that before it was cool.
I'm the most hipster person in Houston, Texas.
You look like it. I saw that before. Y'all saw it. I saw it before it was popular.
I was farting before it was popular.
I recommend going to see Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, Straight Outta Compton, totally awesome. I actually want to see it again where people are not talking during the movie this time around.
I did go see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Sounds like a Star Wars video game.
Rogue Nation?
Yeah.
Maybe because of that new movie coming out, Rogue One?
It wasn't as good as the last one because it was definitely not directed by Brad Bird.
Well, Brad Bird's an amazing director.
There was a lot of really cool segments in it.
I enjoy the movie.
The underwater stuff was really cool, that one shot. The airplane stuff that he did was pretty amazing. He did it.
He strapped himself to a fucking 747.
For real. He did it for real, man.
I have not seen that one.
You know, he almost got hypothermia from that shit.
I bet. He said he was watching him on some talk show, and he got hit by a pebble, and it caused a huge welt on his leg. He thought his leg was going to fall off.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah?
That's dedication.
He's looking old, though.
He's literally trying to kill himself for ticket sales.
Yeah, he did, literally. I think it's definitely a fun movie. It's not the best summer movie.
Oh, I totally disagree. I think it is one of the best summer movies, especially if you want to see it in IMAX. I think
I did not see an IMAX.
It's like definitely a worth seeing an IMAX experience, right up there with Jurassic World.
It wasn't the best Mission Impossible movie. But it was good. It was high up there.
I enjoy the shit out of it.
Those things are always fun, you know what I mean?
I'm also like a really big like Tom Cruise fan. I think his movies are good.
The bad guy was a little lackluster, though.
I guess.
But the main female...
But you can say that about all the movies. The kind of like... The bad guys for all the Mission Impossible movies were themselves.
Yeah. I guess so. But the chick in that movie, Rebecca something?
Yeah, she gave you a boner?
Maybe. My wife is right here, but...
She made you go from 6 to noon?
A little bit. She's amazing, amazing looking woman, but, you know, a little bit older, too, which is a little bit different for...
Yeah, like yeah, you like the older ones, huh?
I am an older guy, so, yeah, I guess so.
There you go.
Got to keep it in my age range, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's getting close to that time, guys.
Yeah, let's talk about our social media. Let's talk about where they can find us, everything like that. Why don't you go ahead and start, Justin?
Well, if you don't know, I'm Justin Corbett. You can find me at comicalpodcast.com, where I do a weekly show all about comic books.
We love comic books.
I do love comic books.
I do, too.
I also do a show called Adventures in Geekery with Carrie, which we mentioned before.
I actually am part of that show, too, believe it or not.
You can find us on Twitter.
George does all the background, the video stuff on that.
Yes, he does.
And I also help with some of the planning, too.
Yes. So.
You're instrumental in the
I try to be.
Success of Adventures in Geekery.
I'm the unsung hero that's in the background.
Did that hurt, patting yourself on the back a little bit?
No, it felt great.
Okay.
It feels good to love yourself every now and again.
Apparently it does.
But anyways, I'm on Twitter at @comicalpodcast. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/comicalpodcast. Find my show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and pretty much anywhere that podcasts exist. So check us out.
You can find
Justin is everywhere.
He is everywhere. You can find the Metal Geeks podcast on all those places. Like you said, iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Give us reviews. Give us a 5-star rating because it really does help people locate the show and get more listeners. Twitter at Metal Geeks. Instagram at Metal Geeks. Facebook /Metal Geeks. Let's see. What about all these? I need to actually write this down. How many networks?
You haven't memorized it yet by now?
I don't. So we're on the Houston Nerdcasting Collective.
Us too.
Yes, you are. We're on the ESO Podcast Network.
Not us.
We're on nerdbong.com.
Yes, we're there too.
We are on, I can't think of them all now.
We're on a lot of different stations that are listed on our website, I'm sure.
Go to the show notes and you will find all this information. We are not prepared because this is an impromptu.
This is an impromptu episode.
It's hot out here.
Yeah, I'm sweating balls, yo.
If you want to not sweat balls and get good music in your ears, that was a horrible fucking segue, but whatever.
Want to hear us better in your ears? Get some... What the hell's the name of our thing again?
Wow, I'm not even on the show, and I know you're advertising better than you guys.
Fuck, I had a brain fart moment.
You do it this time. I want you to do it this time. Do the advertising for us.
So, if you like the show and you want to support us, you can go to tweakedaudio.com.
Tweaked Audio. I knew headphones. Had a T in it.
They have 7 different styles and 7 different colors, and they're great headphones. I've used the promo code, which is...
Metal Geeks.
Then you get a 1/3 off the cost of your order, plus free shipping anywhere worldwide.
Wait. Free shipping?
Free shipping anywhere worldwide.
And a lifetime
guarantee.
And a lifetime guarantee.
Wow.
And these are really good headphones, actually. I've been using a pair for months. We subscribed with these guys as a sponsor almost a year ago.
Yes, you did.
And they've sent us a couple of pairs throughout
the time. That's why you know
the
sponsor.
We got to test them out, and yeah, they're really good. They have strong bass, you know, great sound, great round range or whatever. I love my pair, so highly recommend them.
I love your pair, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do. So listen to us better in your headphones by using Tweaked Audio.
Yeah, Metal Geeks is your code of choice. So
you can also use promo code COMICAL if you want.
Use them both. Why not?
Buy
a lot. That's right.
Christmas gifts for everyone.
And we will get money back into the show to buy better equipment and get better storage and all this kind of stuff.
And then better content for the listeners.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's a full circle.
We hope you enjoyed this Kevin Smith geekery episode. We will talk more about it next week when Dave will be back. We'll be back in the Metal Geek studio. And I have one last thing to say.
What's that?
Keep it metal.
And?
Rock out with your geek out?
There it was, close enough. Keep it geeky, everyone.
Thank you.
I always get it wrong.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.